Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the match preview show. Yes, it's Liverpool versus Luton. Wednesday night, rather odd kickoff time of 7:30 UK. Me and Steve Plunk off air there, which they're having a chat about how that half an hour difference is going to affect us getting to the game. Also joined by Dan Club as well. We've just been hearing from Jurgen Klopp on the injury news, and we'll talk about that in a moment, Dan. But yes, the forgotten game before the final very much can't be the forgotten game before the final. Liverpool top of the league, they're playing Luton at home. It's Jurgen said today, no excuses. You just have to win this game. Like, it is what it is. There's no two ways about it. You have to be Luton at home.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah, certainly if you want to be title challenging towards the back end, the very back end of the season, of course you do. Yeah, and you know, home record remains nigh on imperious. So it's a must win game for loads of different reasons. And obviously we're going to speak more about the injury and stuff like that, and the players unavailable to Jurgen Klopp, which is obviously a long old list and a list full of important players. But Jurgen said himself then in the press conference, if we've got 11 fit players, we're going to fight, we're going to go for it. And that's what it boils down to. It's going to be a far from ideal lineup, even with the lads that are available. He might have to be a little bit clever with what he does. He might be a couple that he's a bit worried about, who knows. But yeah, like I say, as long as we put 11 men out on that pitch, then we've just got to fight for the 3 points, because that's all that matters at the end of the day.
It's interesting to see, obviously there is a cup final on the horizon, we know that. But Premier League is priority. Ironically, Luton at home is a bigger game in Liverpool season, but than Chelsea are in a cup final, because of where, you know, where we're at in the league. I'm just going to go over the table here. Liverpool sit top at the moment, 2 points clear of second place Arsenal with the same amount of games played, 4 points clear of Manchester City. Again, say they played one game fewer, they'll actually catch up tonight when they play Brentford. So who knows how that goes, and that's with, let's presume they win. Worst case is they're still a point ahead of Manchester City. Yeah, Luton, even though we got squeezed in here last minute because of the cup final, it was meant to be at the weekend. It's a huge game, mate. It's so important, isn't it? Arguably more important than Sunday.
Yeah, it's massive. It's like two psychologies, isn't it? One is you win the final and you give everybody a lift in the club, and that gives you the impetus to go on to the end of the season. And the second one is you've got to keep winning your league games, because you've got to keep asking the people who are chasing us, can you do it? Can you keep winning your games? Can you catch us? So it's a difficult situation. I'm firmly in the camp of league takes precedence over Carabao Cup. You'd like to do both, but given the injuries and where the squad's at the moment, I think probably go all the emphasis is on, as you said, you know, to start your piece then, getting the results against Luton and keeping up that pressure, because the league title's the league title. The Carabao Cup's the sort of poor relative in terms of all the trophies you can win throughout the season. So if I'm choosing, and I'm pretty sure that he feels the same way, league or Carabao Cup, for as long as you're in the challenge for the league title, has to take precedence.
100%. We'll talk about Liverpool and what the team news now, which we're going to react to the injuries. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Dan disagrees with that. We'll come to that in a moment. let's have a little look at Luton then. Of the promoted teams, Dan, actually, they're the ones who have been most willing to put up a fight. Of all three of them at the moment, they're all in the relegations. But it's worth mentioning, after their Everton's draw yesterday, obviously Luton have got a game in hand, which ironically, it is for a bit, but then it's not. It's Bournemouth. Yeah. Obviously, that game that got postponed when Tom Lockyer had his medical issue. But in terms of where they are right now, they battered Brighton 4-0. They drew 4-4 at Newcastle. They got beat 3-1 against Sheffield United, which was a big disappointment for them. They got beat 2-1 at home by Man United at the weekend, but put up a fight. They drew with us. You know, they took the lead against Manchester City. These are all at home. Arsenal took them, you know, they went to Arsenal right to the wire. They've proven, like, they've been a bit of a tougher nut to crack than maybe some suggested, whereas it felt like Burnley and Sheffield United have been a little bit walkovery. These very much haven't.
Yeah, they've given some bloody noses out along the way, haven't they? Including against us, of course, at Kenilworth Road. And yeah, they are very difficult to play against. And I was very surprised by that Sheffield United result that you mentioned, because it felt like they were hitting a bit of a purple patch. How long that was going to go on for remained to be seen. When you face a fellow relegation candidate at home, given the way you're playing, you expected them to do a job on them and they didn't. So they'd been really disappointed by that. But yeah, Luton have proven they are no pushovers. They've proven they are difficult. They've got a style and they stick to it, and it's difficult to play against. It's a bit pretty unfamiliar. It's quite a unique challenge coming up against the Luton team that play the way they do. But yeah, credit to them for it, and they've stuck to the principles. They've stuck to what got them promoted ultimately, and it's working. Like, you look at Burnley and they've stuck to their principles, and it hasn't worked, it's fair to say, because their principles are very get the ball down, want to play, but everyone does that in the Premier League. What Luton do is pretty unfamiliar, as I say. We're not used to seeing it, and it has given out some scares along the way, predominantly at home, of course. Their away record isn't quite as appealing. But yeah, it's a difficult challenge, 100%, and obviously it's made all the more difficult by our absentees and some key players missing. And obviously we might have one eye on the finals, obviously conflicting views and exactly what that means, but a couple of the lads, Jurgen Klopp, might have one eye on that final on Sunday as well, whether that be in-game or with a starting 11. It'd be interesting to see. But yeah, Liverpool needs to take care of business, and whatever sort of shape or form that takes in terms of the selection, the 3 points are all that matters. Jurgen Klopp again referencing his press conference there. All that matters right now is tomorrow, and I think us as fans are looking at it that way as well. On Thursday, we'll dust ourselves off, and whatever happens tomorrow night, we'll go again for the weekend. But right now, full focus and full attention has to be on 3 points at Anfield.
On Luton today, before we talk about the Reds, do you use this like three at the back formation, don't you? Almost like wing backs. It's Doherty, Ogbeni, getting four different players really. Doherty's almost like your old school, get it down, good cross of a ball. Yeah. Ogbeni's just raw pace and power. Did they cause Liverpool problems in the game at Kenilworth Road? Obviously, they caused Man United problems as well. They had Ross Barkley and Lokonga, both, you know, Chong as well. Decent lads who all play well. They've obviously come up through the Championship, so they're used to playing Sunday weekends, Sunday midweek, Sunday whatever. Mm-hmm. But they have just played Man United took them to 90 minutes, and now they're away to Anfield. They've got a cup game against Manchester City on the horizon as well. Like, I mean, if you're a Luton fan, it's a week of dreams, really. You know, for that a club that nearly went out of existence is now getting this week of Man United, Liverpool, City in a week. But it is different, isn't it? Like, going to playing Liverpool with a week to prepare, you're playing them at home, is a different kettle of fish than taking Man United to the 95th minute when you hit the woodwork and then going to Anfield. Like, it'll be interesting to see how they respond to it, because as physicality, a test of your physicality and your legs and all that goes, that's a tough back-to-back, really.
It is, but it's the stuff of dreams if you're Luton, isn't it?
You know,
you talk about that week being like the best week in your history type of thing. They won't need any motivation to come to Anfield and try and give a good account of themselves. And the fact that they lost the game, they lost in that relegation battle, was a shock to everybody in football, because it kind of played themselves into a position where they were seemingly overwhelming favourites for that game. Mm-hmm. They'll come and give a good account to themselves. They've got a mixture of physicality and a little bit of guile in the shape of Ross Barkley, who's having a renaissance for them. You know, very comfortable. Anything good that they do generally comes through him. Be a tough game for us. They'll be in it. And the longer the game goes on, the more dangerous that fixture becomes for us, because they've got this. I don't like the phrase free hit, but they've got absolutely nothing to lose. They can come to Anfield, they can enjoy the occasion, they can live out some of their footballing dreams and do what they do and see where they get to. They are a danger. They're a decent side with, as Dan says, a slightly unorthodox way of going about things. It's not what you see week in, week out in the Premier League, but it's effective. Mm-hmm. And every time we go to the media and we hear a Liverpool player might not make it, that adds just a little bit more to them in terms of their self-motivation, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I say, they drew, it was ages ago, but they only got beat by one goal at Man United. Their away form isn't great in terms of results, but they lost at Chelsea. They beat Everton, but like, everyone does that a little bit, you know. But they have, you know, they lost at Brentford. They obviously, they drew with City. They lost later down the line as well. There we go. Sorry, they beat Sheffield United on the road, and then they drew at Burnley. Like, their away form was patchy, and it's been at home. It's been at Kenilworth Road where they've got most of their joy.
Yeah.
It's imperative, like, with the injuries, with everything they've got going on. Yeah, Liverpool could do without this being a dog of a game. Like, it's worth saying that all the time, but like, this is one where it's almost like can you beat them early enough that they half give up? They focus on the cup game against Man City, save a few legs. That's the ideal scenario, isn't it? But like Steve says, I'm not sure we can expect that.
No, absolutely not. No, and more than ever before, we want that ideal scenario because, as I've mentioned, like with that final of the weekend, it would be just a luxury to get a few of the key players off with 20 minutes, half an hour to go. But I don't know if we're going to be afforded that because of the way Luton do handle themselves. They very rarely get hammered. Like you look at Sheffield United, even Burnley, particularly in recent weeks, and they often get a bit of a drubbing. So their opponents can afford to rest key players and to make changes they might not normally have made. But very, very rarely that's the case for Luton, regardless whether it be home or away. You'd like to think there's more of a chance of that tomorrow night. If Liverpool can harness the power of Anfield a little bit and really use that to our advantage, and maybe the occasion is a little bit too much for some of these players who would have fighted for their whole career to get a night like this at Anfield, who knows? But I think there are sort of two schools of thought with Liverpool in terms of lineup, which we'll come on to in more detail in a minute. But I think whichever one we sort of plumb for, you're going to want options on the bench to either strengthen it or weaken it as the game goes on, because I think Liverpool will definitely be playing with the sort of mindset and the sort of intensity that does get this game out of sight as early as possible to allow Jurgen Klopp the opportunity at least to make some changes with the final in mind at the weekend.
It's worth noting, and he has just done the press conference, he ruled out Alisson, Szoboszlai, Alexander-Arnold, Jota and Jones, and none of them are even training yet, so never mind Wednesday, that's probably them for the final as well. Add of course to Thiago, Matip and Bacetic, Ben Doak still out as well.
Trent's missing.
And then he did mention there's a couple of others who were day-to-day with muscle issues. Rumours around Darwin Nunez, Mo Salah was involved in those conversations as well. We won't know those until game day, but there's a lot of players ruled out there. Obviously, it's worth mentioning. So in talk about rest and rotation and stuff like that, this is where he hasn't actually got that many options, especially in midfield and up front. If he's got any, it's at the back. He's actually got decent numbers at the back. Maybe you can see something there. I'm just looking ahead to the team that played from the weekend to tomorrow night. Van Dijk, Konate, Robertson, Bradley was the back four the other day. Just see any changes there. He's got Gomez, he's got Timbercast, he's got Quansah.
Quansah probably for me might come in for
Ibu.
Yeah, because it's three games in a week, and I saw an article saying he's only missed seven games since a year January, which so he's slowly putting that injury prone thing to bed. But that said, that's a longer term view with him that we need him available for as often as we can. Yeah. He's in good form at the moment. The idea that this is a game where you can afford to do that, I don't really buy into that. And the danger we've got here is, we both alluded to the fact that it would be nice to get this one in half an hour, but then you're bringing on lads who don't play in the first team, and you lose all of your shape and you lose all of your control. And if you turn it up and you think we've done it, you bring all these five changes on, you flood the team with academy players, they get a goal, you're on the edge of your seat for the last 20 minutes wondering, you know, and they'll be thinking, take advantage of that. So because of the numbers that are missing, we sat here on a podcast last week and said, we've got five great players up front, we haven't anymore. No. You know, the reality is threadbare. The way we play will be different. Gakpo doesn't run in behind. Elliot doesn't run in behind. So if there's a runner in behind, it's going to be for the left-hand side. So I suspect we'll play a lot higher up the pitch in a lot more compact areas and try and make the midfield closer to the front three, because you've lost that elements of springing somebody and getting a runner in behind. So that concerns me, and that will play into Luton's strengths if we do that as well, because they will fancy close quarters physical battle with our front.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I suppose as well that like we don't know on the Salah Nunes stuff. It's not. Jürgen said there's a couple of day-to-day muscles, so we don't know where they're at. If either of those are unavailable, both of those are unavailable, it actually maybe half makes the manager go, you know what, we go Robertson and we go Bradley and we go back to Liverpool of old, of our attacking often can come from fullbacks. Mm-hmm. Like in theory, if Joe Gomez isn't going to play the final, which we don't know, then he probably should come in here at right back for Bradley, and maybe if Kostas isn't going to play the final, he should go at left back. But with injuries further ahead, that maybe that impacts things, I don't know.
Yeah, quite possibly, yeah. It's a really sort of difficult balance to strike for Jürgen Klopp, this one, because there's so many factors at play. There's obviously the footage he played the weekend, some of that, we don't know how close some of them are to the red zone and stuff like that, so he's got to be so, so careful what he does. And as you rightly say, the fact we are missing so many key players further up the field, does that mean he has to go a little bit stronger and add a bit of attacking impetus from further back? Who knows? I would be sort of erring on the side. I think Joel Quantz is an interesting one. I think this is the type of game he's been dropped into anyway this season, regardless of it. We've seen him play Burnley away on Boxing Day in this type of fixture.
Sorry to interrupt. Gomez could play centre back. Like if he goes Bradley and he goes Robertson or Tsimikas.
Yeah.
In theory, in the pecking order, Joe Gomez is above Quanta in the centre back pecking order. I don't know if that's still the case, but maybe, you know, it'd be weird to look Joe Gomez in the eye and go, I'm resting the centre half and I'm playing Quanta and you're not playing. That would be an interesting...
I think that is a strange scenario. You're absolutely spot on, yeah. But if he goes, I'm resting Konate, Quanta's going to play centre half, but you're going to play right back, problem solved, essentially. I think the Robertson one for Tsimikas feels like a bit of a no-brainer for me, and that's not even sort of with the final in mind. That's more Tsimikas is our backup left back, obviously, for first and foremost, but Joe Gomez might have a conversation about that as well, to be fair, in terms of pecking order. But the Robertson thing is more the fact that he's not long back from an injury as well, so you really need to be careful for how you're sort of giving him minutes. You can't constantly keep throwing him to the Wolves time and time again, so that's a difficult conversation. I personally, we spoke about this a lot in the office today, of course we have, because injuries are the topic, aren't they? I would like to see Jürgen Klopp ask the same 11, 12 players with Harvey Elliott in the mix. So you've got to go for me twice this week and then you get your week off next week. That's what I want. That's my preference. But there's this just niggling feeling in my head that Jürgen Klopp's going to blood some other academy lads, and you touched on it there, like, and you're right, by the way, like, you don't want to see at the end of the match 5-6 youngsters who've got 10 senior appearances between them, of course you don't, because something's gone wrong, but we've seen a lot of them this season and they've done really well pretty much every single time.
I can't think who it is. Do you know, like, McConnell started the game, there's no way McConnell plays when Endo and McAllister are available. I just don't see that being the case.
No, I get it.
That might be a 60-30 with Bobby Clark, and that would worry me then.
You've got a Bobby Clark, you've got a Cade Gordon, you've got your McConnell. Jaden Danz have been in and around it. I don't think any of them, these latter lads, start, by the way. They're all on the bench, of course. You are Lewis Koeman. There's a conversation around McConnell. It's not out of the question that McConnell starts this game.
I would be shocked,
but it's not out of the question. And Klopp mentioned them all just then in his press conference.
I think the bench is going to be full of kids.
He's firing them up. He's giving them that little bit of his trust as we're on the bench. Come on, boys.
The beauty of all of this as well, just to throw this, is the Southampton game next week. Because these all play this game, all of them. You know what I mean? With a sprinkling of seniority in there somewhere. So it's a difficult one. He's got to strike a balance over the next 3/4 games with the Forest one, but I wouldn't like to be the man picking it.
The minutes in the legs aren't as heavy as they usually are for some of these players, because we haven't played Champions League, so Virgil hasn't had those trips to Europe that he would always have, you know, a few other ones. So I don't know if it's the worst thing in the world. I say, listen, you all just go for it. You go Brentford, you go Luton, and you play the final, and then you're just going to all have the Wednesday against Southampton off. It feels like that's probably the way he has to go. Now, some of the changes are enforced. Like, from Sunday, he's lost Jota and he's lost Jones. We know they're not going to play. So there's two changes already. So you're bringing two other lads in. So it feels like it half picks itself in the fact that in midfield, it feels like Endo, McAllister, Gravenberch is going to be the midfield. And maybe it depends on Elliott. And then up front, it's going to be Diaz, Gakpo, and then we'll see where they're at with Nunes and Salah. Like, in a way, the manager's team's nearly picked for him for this game. If he's only worrying about this game, and he'll leave Sunday to what Sunday is, which he always says he would do, it actually might not be that big. All you're really deciding is, if Salah and Nunes can't go, then who plays on the right? Elliott. And then if, therefore, Gravenberch plays. Like, it almost picks itself.
Yeah, it does, but this time next week, we'll be sat here going, Southampton have lost once in 25 games. That's not an easy fixture. And you can't just go and put your youth team in there because they'll get slaughtered.
I'll be honest, I think if we win the cup on Sunday and we're top of the league, haven't beat Luton, I think that makes that easier. Not saying you put the kids in, yeah. but you play...
You might play Simicast and
Gomez, a couple more. You might start one or two more.
And you might get Ian McConnell in there. It's so threadbare at the moment. You kind of can't sit and plan it, can you? And you write that thing where all the managers say, I take it game by game. I'm not convinced by that, but he's got no choice but to do that in this situation because he's waiting. He said today it's day by day with the muscular injuries, which is a clever way of saying, I don't know where we're at with that, but we'll assess it day by day. And, you know, Salah's been...
It sounds like fitness tests.
Salah's been labelled with cramps. Well, cramps could be sort of a reoccurrence of a little bit of what he had before. So a clever play on words there, maybe. It's just not a great situation, is it? And, you know, we have no other break glass option on the bench, don't we? You know, things aren't going well. You see the big guns getting off the bench to bail you out. Leicester in the League Cup springs to mind. Yeah. That option's not there. So... We're going to ask an awful lot of these young lads to be in and around the squad in the coming weeks, and good experience for them. I think both the club and them probably would like to do it differently.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But for this game, Dan, to hark back to it, we do have to kind of half pick a team here. Let's do it between us. So Kelleher's in goal.
Yeah.
The only one of the back four I'm convinced will start is Van Dijk.
I agree. Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think...
You pick as a centre-back.
So I've got two teams, actually. One would be my sort of preferred team and one would be a bit of a left-field team that Klopp could do. Because you just touched on it there. Like, he's saying it's got to be game by game. And obviously, right now it does. But in the past, Jurgen Klopp has picked teams with an eye on games further down the line. So it's not out of the question that he'll do that. This time around, I'd be going Virgil, Kwanzaa, Gomez, Tsimikas as my back four.
I think that's what he's going to do.
Yeah,
as well.
Steve? I think Bradley plays instead of
Gomez.
You might see Gomez.
So Gomez doesn't play.
Purely because of the we need some attacking impetus from somewhere else. Harvey Elliott's not going to knock the ball around the fullback and go round him. Bradley is an orthodox round the outside type attacking force, and he's done that for Bolton, and we've seen it for us. Yeah. And he can be on his bike and go. When you're 18 and you're fit, you can throw as many games of football as you want at them. You know,
I agree.
No, I get that.
My worry would be because we've lost legs in the front three. We have, because Gakpo's not slow. We know that, but it's not his natural game to peel off someone's shoulder and run in behind. Is to come for the ball and look after it and bring someone else in and get a third man running, and then it's not Elliot's natural game anymore to play on the right side of the front three. He plays a slightly more deeper inverted role. Yeah.
I think Bradley should play, but I think he's going to pick Gomez.
I think he'll back Gomez to offer creativity.
He'll swap, won't he? 60-30 scenario with both of them at some point.
And Bradley's been so impressive, and you're absolutely spot on with what you say about how attackingly influential he's been on his Liverpool team. But I think they will back Gomez to offer something in that department, and likewise if it is Tsimikas on the other side.
Gomez as a centre-back then instead, Steve's right. You know, difficult conversations to have with Gomez saying, actually, because you've been playing full-back in the last 20 appearances, I don't consider you to be in front of the pecking order. That's a mad conversation because he's, 9-10 games.
It makes it easier if you say, listen, Trent's out, you and Bradley are my right backs. Yeah. That makes it a little bit easier, doesn't it? Where you can say to him, like, you know, you're both going to play 60-30 over the next couple of games.
Yeah.
I'm going to say midfield then, though, McAllister, Gravenberch. Does anyone think any differently?
No, that'd be mine too.
That'd be my preference. I don't think that's probably one area where it's, well, the front six are nailed on for me, aren't they?
It depends on Salah and Nunes.
But in midfield, it's in terms of senior options, it's kind of 3-from-3, isn't it? That's kind of all we have at our disposal, with Harvey Elliott potentially probably being used in the attacking line. So yeah, I don't think he's got much choice. And you touch on creativity there. You're probably looking at McAllister and Gravenberch to really offer an abundance of creativity from their department, because it needs to come from somewhere. We might lose a little bit from fullback, so the central midfield area is going to have to be full of it.
So it's Diaz, Gakpo front, we think. We'll see. Might be pleasantly surprised that Nunes and Salah absolutely...
I take the bench.
...all go. We don't know. Like I say, he didn't reference them today. It's all a bit conjecture, of course, and whatever, but he did mention a couple of muscle injuries.
I think if they're on the bench just for the sake of sitting on the bench rather than a go-to. You'll be really, really careful, haven't you? Because if Salah's feeling his previous injury, you throw him on for 20 minutes and he does it, then he's gone for a month. And then where are we then?
Yeah, so we'll see where that with them. Hopefully it's just got cramp, you might be fine. So I think hopefully it's that. But if it's not, it's probably going to be Elliot on the right. If that's the case, stay... it's massive on Diaz. This is where, if the pecking, you know, the pecking order top three was probably Nunes, Salah, Jota, I think we'd all agree, Diaz and Gakpo somewhere in behind. It's almost like passing the baton to those two for a little bit. Even if Salah's okay, coming off the back of a hamstring injury to say play an hour on Sunday, go all day Wednesday and then play on a big Wembley pitch on Sunday, you are going to have to, even Mo Salah needs looking after a little bit. It almost feels like it's time for Gakpo and Diaz to take the reins a little and just, you know, these lads have done so well for them for so long. You know, these are senior lads. These are lads who, you know, Liverpool paid about £80 odd million for the pair of them. It's time. It might be time for them to go right.
What's good is I don't think Diaz shares that opinion. I think Diaz sees himself as the main man, a pivotal man on the left-hand side, and his recent goal-scoring form and the way he's been playing suggests that he's responded to that. Yeah, you're right. Gakpo in particular, be sitting down with Gakpo today saying, right, you know, you've been unlucky not to play. You've been a victim of your own versatility to some degree. Mm-hmm. You've got 10 goals. You create opportunities. You look after the ball. Lovely. You and Gravenberch together at that Dutch connection works really, really well because they're both really good in tight spaces. Go and do the Quanta thing when he came out and said, Matip's injury is a bad thing, but for me, it's just a chance for me to play in the team. And I don't mean to be rude when I say that, but it is. Yeah. And I think Gakpo's got to go into it with exactly the same mentality and say, I've got to put myself in a position when these lads start coming back. Klopp's looking at me thinking, he's just been too influential and I can't bring him out.
Conor Bradley's done that.
And we are a meritocracy as a football club. We are a meritocracracy. So if he does that, then quite within his rights to be upset if he gets brought out further down the line. But I'm not worried by Gakpo playing because you'll need to be robust in the centre of the park today against Luton, because they'll come looking for the physicality, and he's good at that. Players bounce off him and he still holds onto the ball. So yeah, it'd be a really interesting matchup in terms of tactics, because we might have to do things we're not used to doing.
Gravenberch likewise, just on that point as well, make yourself undroppable. You've got yourself an opportunity. You've been chomping at the bit to play more footy. He left by Munich because of the lack of footy he was getting. Yeah. All of a sudden, Curtis Jones's injury, however long he's out for, might be a matter of weeks. Who knows, could be a little bit longer. Gravenberch should see this now, and it looked like he did, certainly at Brentford. It looked like he's seen this and say, okay, this is my time. I'm going to take this shirt, I'm going to nail it down. Even when Curtis Jones is back available, I'm going to take some ousting. Make yourself part of the future going forward for Liverpool. And Gravenberch and Gakpo have got chances to
really good for the opening goal. McAllister's goal, wasn't he? He was really good for McAllister's goal.
Yeah, probably the best game of Liverpool shirt for me. No, not in terms of all the fancy stuff and the flair stuff that we've seen, just a proper centre midfielder's performance. We had everything.
Absolutely. So, with all that being said, might as well start rounding up, guys. Steve, do you think there are challenges, but ultimately, that 11 we've just picked, every single one of them, we'll get in Luton's team. It's worth mentioning that. You'll be like, man for man, the Olders will be in the Luton team. So Liverpool, regardless if it's not Liverpool's best team, have still got a very good team, a team that is more than capable of getting the job done, provided you don't, like no taking the eye off the ball, no messing about. Obviously, we're both going down to Anfield. Do you think we're going to see a win?
It's not going to be easy, because there's lots of relationships that are quite fresh, and football is about building relationships on the pitch. So I don't think it's going to be easy, and they'll be up for it. But I said it recently when I was in here. If you're going to go and play against teams like that, you can't beat them. Then you can't be sitting in a conversation for we want to win the league. That won't even enter the coaches, the managers' heads that this is a game we don't win, and that needs to be transcend itself into the players and go with that approach. So I think we're certainly good enough to beat them. I don't think this is going to be easy.
Can I nick a score off you?
All that said, I still think we win 2-0. I don't think they're going to score.
I think 2-0.
I've got 2-0 as well. Honestly, I swear to God, I've got 2-0 in my head.
But it feels like the second one comes quite late.
It'd be a bit naughty all game. Like, and it's not going to be easy. It's going to be grueling. But I think we get it done 2-0 as well, yeah.
Absolutely. We'd all take that if that's the case. And then Sunday will take care of itself. Just to let you guys know, kickoff is 7:30 on Wednesday. Join us at 6:15 for the uncensored match build-up on YouTube, and then 7:15 for the watch-along as well. Yeah, the game is actually being broadcast on British TV, which is absolutely banana. So Dan and Errol are having to get on an aeroplane later on there, flying to France. So just to bring you the watch along. So make sure you check out the entire watch along. Keep an eye on the YouTube channel for even more content. And as we do build up to Wembley, I understand there's this game to get through first. Redmenplus.com is the place to go. Loads already on there as well, including the 6-part League Cup podcast series. There's a preview with Jamie Carragher coming out at, I think it's on Friday as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com is the place to go for more amazing Liverpool content. But for now, thanks to Steve, thanks to Dan, thanks to Adam for producing, and thanks to you guys for watching and listening to the match preview. We'll see you on Wednesday. See you in a bit.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.